Okay, today we're going to start Perek Kol HaBasar. Okay, we're getting into really the basar and chalav and all that interesting stuff, right? Remember, it says Lo Tvashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo three times in the Torah, and the rabbis darshan, what does that mean? And it means, number one, you can't eat them. Number one, you can't cook them, Lo Tvashel. You also can't eat them, and you also can't get hana'ah from them, right? There's a joke going around, right, that, you know, Hashem says to Moshe, Lo Tvashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo, and then Moshe says, oh, you mean you can't eat them. No. I said, don't cook it, right? You mean also chicken? No. I said, don't cook, right? You know. Yeah. Somehow we got all, you know, added lots right of away. Other things. Exactly. Okay. Kol habasar asur levashel b'chalav. So now, any meat. Now, the question is going to be, how far do we go with this? What's going to be interesting about this stuff, and in general, is going to be that we have certain assumptions that we know, right? We don't eat milk and meat. We don't eat any milk derivations. We don't eat chicken. We don't eat, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but it says, right, a gdi is what type of animal? A behemah. Who's to say it applies to chayot? So we're going to kind of, you're going to have to forget about everything you know to be a fact in terms of what you practice. And we're going to learn that a lot of these issues were up for debate. Is oh, asur, is are chayot asurot to be cooked in milk? And we're going to get into all sorts of other details. And it's obvious from the Mishnah that you might have even thought basar could apply also to fish and grasshoppers. Because you talk about the general meat category, right? And fish could be meaty. I mean, we usually call it fishy. But they're going to basically say no. But even the fact that they have to say no seems that maybe, you know, again, I don't think anyone ever thought. But the Mishnah is specifying kol habasar asur levashel b'chalav, any meat. Now, what's unfortunate here is the Mishnah doesn't exactly clarify for us what does meat mean, but it says any meat, chutz mi basar dagim v'chagavim. So that seems to say dagim and chagavim. Fish and grasshoppers are not part of this, but it sounds like anything else, of chayot, would be included in any basar.
We should have made chicken
parve. Would have made so things nice. Easier.
Especially eggs.
But again, this is so hard for us. We're so used to chicken is meat. We view it as meat, and it's so hard to think that maybe that wasn't actually the case, and maybe we really could, right? To me, the thought of, you know, chicken soup and eating it with a cup of milk or something, you know, seems so. And chicken soup, forget about chicken soup. I mean, that, if you say chicken soup and you don't actually eat the pieces of chicken, okay, people actually, like, there's room for saying that that's not even the meat itself, right? You're even farther away from the meat. You just have kind of the taste of the meat. Maybe that's even something else. But that's like halacha lemaaseh. There's distinctions made there. But, you know, we're all very, oh, no, it's chicken. You know, we're not going to do anything. Anyway, so here's our mission. So okay, very simple, right? This is the most simple halacha you can learn. We all know this. Any basar asur levashel b'chalav, except for basar dagim v'chagavim. Ve'asur la'alot im hagvina ala shulchan. And you can't even put it on the table with, you can't put cheese on the table. Okay, all of a sudden we switch from chalav to cheese. Okay, you can't put meat on the table with cheese. Chutz mi basar dagim v'chagavim. Again, right, there's this refrain in the Mishnah. The basar dagim v'chagavim is going to come up three times in this Mishnah. Okay, so again, it sounds like, what can't you put on the table with cheese? Anything other than fish and grasshoppers, which would then include chayot and ofot. Now we get off track a little, but it's going to be another thing that has to do with basar and dagim and chagavim. Hanodir min abasar, if you swear off of meat, I swear, right, or I take a neder, I make a promise, a vow, that I will not eat meat. So the question is, this is just, right, what does meat include? So you would assume it's the same as what we've been discussing in the Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah brings it. So what does it include? It includes, ofot, birds, and chicken, and other kind of things. But you're going to be allowed to eat basar dagim b'chagavim, the meat of the fish and the grasshoppers, because the term basar does not include those things. Okay, sounds like a pretty straightforward Mishnah. Sounds like it's pretty consistent, right? It's very consistent. There's basar and of and all that and chayot on one hand versus dagim and chagavim on the other. But the Gemara is going to point out that the Mishnah actually, the Reisha and the Seifa seem to follow different opinions. Okay, so the first assumption the Mishnah makes is, the Gemara makes is exactly what we said, which is ha-of asur mi de'oraita. The assumption is, now here the Gemara is jumping a little. They're saying, they're assuming that since the Gemara made no the Mishnah made no distinction between basar, meat from animals, and meat from birds, that it assumes that we put them all in the same category and they're all forbidden meat d'oraita. Now, the Mishnah never said d'oraita, but the assumption is we're going to assume that on a d'oraita level, that's also forbidden. So, kiman, d'lo k'Rabbi Akiva. That means that our Mishnah doesn't hold by Rabbi Akiva. D'i Rabbi Akiva, ha'amar, we're going to see this later on in the Mishnah, on Kufyu Gimel, chayava ofe no manatoha. Rabbi Akiva's opinion was birds and even chayot, okay? You might have heard this opinion about ofot, but it's right. It's even more far-reaching that chayot are not, right, any undomesticated animals are not forbidden in the Torah to eat with, to cook with, to eat with milk. So therefore, we're going to assume that the Mishnah in the Reisha doesn't follow Rabbi Akiva, because the assumption is they're all equal. Equal means they're all asur b'Torah. However, Ema Seifa, and here you're going to have to wait a little while till you get there. There's a few things to learn on the way. Till we get to say that the Seifa must not be like Rabbi Akiva. Hanodir min abasar, the last line. If you're nodir min abasar, mutar b'basar dagim b'chagavim. So now what would one assume? Ha of asur. So if you say, I take a vow, I'm not going to eat meat, that would include ofot, right? Birds. Now that statement is atan the Rabbi Akiva. That statement is dafka Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Okay, that when you say, now again, this is a totally different issue. It's not totally different, but right, one is of asur min atoha, and one is when I say the words basar, do I mean, right, this is, if you remember, when we learned in Nedarim, it was all about when you make a statement that's not so clear, we have to guess, well, what did you mean? When you said basar, did you mean chicken also? Right, think about it when you cook for Shabbat, right? You say, what meat dish are we having? Now, meat dish usually include chicken or meat. So the question is, when you say, I swear I won't eat meat, or I take a vow, I'm never going to eat meat, are you allowed to eat chicken? Is that included or not? So there's a machlokah at Rabbi Akiva and Tanakama about this. And Rabbi Akiva is going to say, dafka, you can't eat chicken. And Tanakama is going to say, you can eat chicken. And we're going to see what's their test to figuring out what you're including in that statement. So, da'amar, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Komili demi, here's his test. How would you know? Komile, anything, demi, any word, like a term, that demimlach ale shaliach, that if you sent a shaliach, okay, you sent your kids to the store to buy you some meat, say, please go buy me meat, and they come back and ask you, listen, they didn't have meat, but they had chicken. Now, what would that mean? Now, you could read that in two ways. Either it means that chicken is not meat, because otherwise they would have just bought the meat right away. They would have bought the chicken without asking you. That's one approach. That's Tanakama's approach. Rabbi Akiva's approach is, Mimlach alei shaliach means if the shaliach would come back and ask you. Now, if they went to the store and there was no meat, and they came back and said to you, listen, there wasn't meat, but can I buy fish? So that wouldn't be like, now, you have to think, it's not exactly the best proof, but you might actually go and buy fish instead, but meat and fish are so far off that the assumption is they wouldn't do that, right? That the assumption is if they come back and ask you about something, they didn't have exactly what you wanted. I wanted to figure out, would this still be within what you wanted as meat? So if they would ask you something, the assumption is, Rabbi Akiva says, that means it's bar mineh. Okay? That if they would ask you, they didn't have meat, they had chicken, can I buy that instead? That means chicken is a type of meat. Okay? So there's two different approaches. One says chicken is obviously not, otherwise they would have bought it. And the other one says, no, that the fact that they asked about it, so we're going to read it inside now and you'll see a little better. So that's what the words kol mile demim lachale shaliach, if a shaliach would ask you about it, then it's bar minehu, then is that type. And the assumption is chicken is something they would ask about. So therefore, chicken is a type of meat according to Rabbi Akiva, which means that the seifa is dafka Rabbi Akiva. So here's our Mishnah, Ditznan. It says Ditanya, but it's really Ditznan. It's the Mishnah in Darim. Hanodir min hayarak. You say, I vow I'm not going to eat any vegetables. Okay, here's the case they used to compare. Mutar bidluim. You can eat dluim. Okay, what are dluim? Gourds. Now, here we're going to say, okay, Rabbi Akiva oser. The assumption is the gourds aren't necessarily called yerek. Okay, why not? So it's a bit of a struggle here. Why not? Because you would think of a gourd, it is a vegetable. Some people say that vegetable means things that are eaten raw, and gourds can't be eaten raw. And some people say that yarak means the leaves, but not the fruit part of the vegetable, or, you know, the meaty part of the vegetable. Not to use the term meat here. But the gourd, you don't eat, there are no leaves, maybe. Maybe that's their assumption, and it's just the inside of it. Some people actually combine those two as one answer. It's a little bit tricky why they think it's not, but okay. If you're nodem and a yarek, according to Tanakama, you can eat dilui. Rabbi Akiva says you can't. Amrula le Rabbi Akiva, so they say to Rabbi Akiva, v'halo, but look on the street. Omer adam l'shulcho, one could see this kind of case happening. A person could say to a shaliach, kach lanu yarek, go buy me a vegetable. V'hu omer, lo matzati ela dluim, and the shaliach could come back. It's not that this case actually happened, but they're saying, potentially this could definitely be a situation that would arise. And the guy would come back and say, listen, lo matzati ela dluim. So what does that prove, according to Tanakama? If it was a yerek, they would have bought it, and without asking. So the fact that the shaliach asked shows it's not. So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Akiva says to them, Kein Hadavar, you're exactly right that situation could potentially happen. The situation is, remember, shaliach comes and says, you were supposed to buy a yerek, right? And he says, no, they didn't have yerek, but they had zeluim. Rabbi Akiva says, you're right that situation could happen. But notice, what situation did you describe? Klum omer lo matzati ela kitnit. The guy didn't come back and say, listen, I only found legumes, because legumes clearly aren't a vegetable. Dafka, the situation you brought is a more likely situation, because he would come back and ask about gourd, but he wouldn't come back and ask about kitnit. So therefore, it proves exactly my point. Ela shedluim bechlal yerek ve'ein kitnit bechlal yerek. The fact that the situation would arise where the question would be asked about a gourd, but not about kitnit, any kind of legumes, exactly proves my point, says Rabbi Akiva. Which means that if a shaliach would come and ask you, listen, they didn't have that in the store, but they had this, instead, can I buy it? What he really means is, I think this might be what you're asking for. I just want to make sure. I was thinking, there's all sorts of funny things that go around. You know, we all, I don't know, at least in my house, and I know definitely some other people here, send their husbands to, you know, the store to get things, and you know, some husbands are the types that, you know, not to make any stereotypes about men and women or anything. I'm sure it happens the reverse. Since there's a group of women in front of us, in many families, the women are the ones who write the lists and plan the menus. So, you know, there's some husbands who are the types that just see, you know, either they buy everything that's on sale, or they, I don't know if you know that type, but, or, you know, they don't see what you have, they don't want to bother you, so they just buy whatever, right? And then there's the other types that, you know, make sure to ask, because they know they're going to get in big trouble if they come home with the wrong thing. I saw a funny thing on Facebook. It was a handwritten letter, a note. Someone said, I found this in a shopping cart in the store, and it was a list, and every single item had a huge description. Not the this, but the this, and not the this. I know if I write a list that long, it just doesn't get read, so I don't bother. So anyway, this is exactly that. In other words, if you're asking already, then it means you think it's likely, but you want to make sure, especially if you're shaliach, you want to make sure you do your job properly, and that's how Rabbi Akiva views it. He's just checking, could this be what you meant, and therefore it is that type. So again, where does that leave us? That leaves us with Reisha Rabbanan, B'Sefer Rabbi Akiva. So again, now look back at our Mishnah. Let's just go back to where we started. The first part of the Mishnah says, Kol ha-basar asur l'vashev ha-chalav chutz mi-basar dagi v'chagavim, which assumes that oath is asur mida oraita. And that is lo kirabi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says chicken and milk is usher only midrabanan. And then we have the second part, hanodir min abasar. Now again, it doesn't say this explicitly, but I'm going to write it as if it says it explicitly, is asur be'of, right? And if it's asur be'of, that follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion that basar and of are interchangeable when it comes to nidarim. Okay, so therefore, we're going to assume. Now, right, you see how these things don't, just because they're interchangeable in people's lingo doesn't necessarily mean the oath is going to be asur midoraita, right? It just means, again, in the world of nidarim, when people make statements, the whole question is, what did they exactly mean by the statement that they made? So if you say basar and oath has been nidarim, that's kirabi Akiva. So now we're going to have to figure out, does it make sense to say that the resh is not like Rabbi Akiva and the seifa is Rabbi Akiva? So we're going to have two answers. Amar of Yosef, Rebbe. The Mishnah was authored by Rebbe. V'nasiv le'aliba d'tnai, and he held by different tana'im. B'nidarim savar la'kirabi Akiva. These are two totally different issues. One has to do with nidarim and what people mean when they say things. And one has to do with dinei torah. What does it mean? Lo tavashal di b'chalev imo. And how far do we stretch that? So when it came to basar and chalav, he held like Tanakama, not like Rabbi Akiva. And when it came to nidarim, he held like Rabbi Akiva. That's fine. There's no problem saying that you pick, you might hold like someone in one issue and someone in a different issue. The Mishnah is actually talking about two totally different issues. That's one assumption. What's the other way to go? We started off by saying the Mishnah assumes that Ofis Asher Midoraita. Where did we get that? Did the Mishnah ever say to Oraita anywhere? No, the Mishnah just said any basar, right? That in general, the Mishnah talks halacha lamaaseh. They don't talk necessarily on Oraita to Rabbanan levels. So the second answer is going to be of that type, which is Rav Ashi Amar Kula Rabbi Akiva Hi V'Hachi Kamar. And this is the way you should read the Mishnah. Kol Abasara Sor L'Vashel B'Chalav. Now here they add some words here. Mehem Midivrei Torah, Mehem Midivrei Sofrim. Some are Asur D'Oraita, some are Asur D'Rabbanan, okay? Very simple. And then you resolve it, because then you can say the Reisha is Rabbi Akiva, and the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, right? Chutz mi, what's not going to be included, though, in even Divrei Sofrim? Basar Dagim V'Chagavim She'enam Lomi Divrei Torah V'Lomi Divrei Sofrim. So there's different levels here. There's D'Oraita and D'Rabbanan are included in the first, right? What's Asur mi D'Oraita and D'Rabbanan? That's any Basar, including Of. On the other hand, you have Dagim and Chagavim, which aren't even Asur mi D'Rabbanan. Okay, and that's another way to read the Mishnah.
How are they proving that it's not from the Torah? Because the Torah has four categories.
What do you
mean? How would they get to Oph from the Torah?
So first of all, we're going to get to the Mishnah when they have a whole debate about whether Oph is the Asur Midoraita or not. Okay, we're not there yet. Okay, but it's by the way, it's no different than a bunch of other cases we saw. Does it also apply Gida Nashe? Is it also Chayava Of? Is it also, by the way, I didn't mention this, but Tosfot, if you remember when we started the Mish, the Perek, I'm trying to remember, is it Kisoy Adam was the first one? No, Otov Et Bino, in the fifth Perek, there was this structure to all the Prakim, and then I showed, except for, there's a few exceptions, this is an exception, right, where it started with, it's Noheg Ba'aretz B'chutz La'aretz B'chulim B'mukdashim. So Tosfot asks, right, Tema de lo tane ba'aretz b'chutz la'aretz b'fnei abayit shelo b'fnei abayit b'chulin u'mukdashim. He says, why don't we say, kol ha'basar asur l'vashel b'chalav, anywhere you are, right, whatever kind of meat it is. So he asked that question. Okay, and then he answers, but anyway, it's a good question. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yosef. Ba'asur l'ha'alot. Now we're getting to the part about you can't go on the shulchan. You can't put, right, the middle case, which we kind of ignored for right now, because we were talking about the first and the last case on the Mishnah. Now we get to the middle case. You can't put it on the table with cheese, with meat. So first of all, Rashi says on the Mishnah, what's the problem? So look at the last line on Kuf Gimel Amud Bet. Hey, Rashi. Dil ma'ate l'michlinu ki adade. We're worried you might eat them together. Dekanage ubale mehadade. They might actually touch each other, and what will happen? The cheese will get absorbed into the meat. Okay, we'll get into that. But even though you can eat basar after you eat vina, so in theory, maybe you could put the cheese on the table and eat the cheese and then the meat, but we're worried that they might get mixed up together, and the meat will get, the cheese will get absorbed into the meat. Now, the problem with that is, you think about it, is what? How hot is the meat on the table? We'll get to that question by the end of today's talk. But right now, assume that there's a concern that the meat could absorb from the, right? Because generally we say kashrus is in a pot with it cooking, etc. So we'll see how far that goes. I'm Rav Yosef. Shema mina, so now he says, it sounds from here now. Asur l'ha'alot basar, asur l'ha'alot, right? This is, what can't you put on l'ha'alot? Well, since it says, Chutz mi basar dagim v'chagavim, again implied that Oaf can't be eaten with cheese on the table. Now that's already, okay, let's think about it. Oaf is asur midirabanan, okay, if according to the last answer, that let's assume it's both Rabbi Akiva, Oaf is asur dirabanan, which means we're now making a gzera on a gzera, right? Oaf is forbidden dirabanan, so, right, just in case we come to eat basar b'chalav. And putting it on the table is in case we come to eat them together. So you now end up with a gzera, al gzera. So that's what they're going to ask you. So Amar Rav Yosef, Shema Mina, Basar Of B'Chalav De'Oraita. Right? It sounds like Basar Of and Chalav must be De'Oraita from here. Because the isal kadat after rabbanan, it must be often ofet chalav is deoraita. Because if it's derabbanan, achila gufa gzera, eating chicken with cheese is already a gzera. Va'ana nigzor ha'ala atu achila, and we're going to make a gzera that you can't put them on the shulchan lest you come to eat them. That makes no sense, okay? Because we don't make a gzera on a gzera. Okay, so it must be, again, they say, it must be that the oaf is asur midoraita, according to the Mishnah, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Why should we make a gzera from, right, asur to eat, lest you, I'm sorry, asur to put them on the table, lest you come to eat them, when eating them itself is only asur midorabana. We don't make gzera on derabana. So now the Gemara says, well, how do we know this? Minatim or delo gazrina gzera l'gzera. How do we know that we don't make a gzera on a gzera? So now they bring a totally different case. Ditnan, it says in the Mishnah in Chala. Okay, let's talk some background about Chala. Chala is an obligation to take, right, or mafrish chala from a dough that you make. How does that differ from other mitzvot tliyopa aretz? First of all, you don't have to be a landowner to be chayav in this. Trumot ma'asrot, you have to be a landowner and own the land. The second thing is, it's a chiyuv on the person, because the person makes the dough and that creates the chiyuv, rather than the it's a chiyuv on the crops, right, whatever's growing. So there's a few differences, and because of that, right, Truman and Masrot, we know, are not noheg in chutz la'aretz, right, but chala is noheg b'chutz la'aretz, but we're going to learn the chala is only noheg b'chutz la'aretz midirabbanan. And the rabbis created this chala b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, they said it was usher because they were worried that people would forget all about the mitzvah of challah. It's interesting because Truman and Masrot, okay, this is classic. People come on Aliyah and they have no idea that they're supposed to take Truman and Masrot. They have fruit trees outside and they start eating it. They don't even realize because exactly what they were worried about, right, that happened. People just have no idea, right? They forget that there's such a thing. You can see why they would make a gzera, but it's interesting they only made the gzera on challah and not on Truman and Masrot, and that's because of the differences. That those are really tliyopa aretz, and this is a little less taloi in the karka, right? It has to do with making a dough. So here we're going to see tana chalat chutz al aretz ne'echelet im hazar al ashulchan. So it's similar, right? You can eat if the challah goes to the kohen. So now, right, it's hard to imagine with us, we just burn it, but the challah goes to the kohen and the kohen eats it. So the kohen is sitting at the table eating his challah. You can put the challah on the table even if the kohen is eating with someone who's a non-kohen, and you don't have to be concerned that maybe the tzar will come to eat the challah. Why? Because chalat chutz la'aretz is only a gzera, so we're not going to do a gzera al gzera. We're not going to say you can't eat it at the same table with a tzar, lest he come to eat it, because if he eats it, it's only Isser d'Rabbanan. The whole issue of gzera is to prevent us from being over on an Isser d'Oraita. V'nitenet l'chol kohen sheyirtze. And you can give it to any kohen, even in Am Haaretz. Okay, so what does this have to do with anything? So first of all, I think it was Chizkiyahu, it says in the Pasuk, in Divrei HaYamim, you can look in Rashi, he quotes it in the fourth line of Rashi, Dechtiv latet menat l'kohanim l'machzikim b'torat Hashem. Okay, you can only give your mana to a kohen who keeps the halacha, because what are we worried about? That someone might not treat it b'tahara. If you're metame kodshim, right, or a truma, it's a problem. So therefore, he said, only give your stuff to kohanim that are makpidim al mitzvot. But when it comes to chalat chutz la'aretz, you can give it to any kohen, even in Am Haaretz. Okay, here there's a debate whether lechatchila, or if you can't find any other kohen, then you can give it to an Am Haaretz. But either which way, we see they treat it differently. So now, this proves ein gozrim gzera al gzera, because you can eat the chalat chutz la'aretz at the table with the tzar. So Amar le'Abaye, Abaye says, wait. That would be, if you want to compare, okay, so let's put it on the board. You want to compare chalat chutz la'aretz, right, putting it on the table, to of and gvina, right, ala shulchan. Okay, so, what's the issue with gzeira is, we want to know, will you come to be over on something mida oraita? So here, what's the problem with of and gvina? If you put them on the shulchan, what might you do? You might do basaru gvina ala shulchan, and that might lead you to eating basar b'chalav b'yachad, right? That's the concern. And that's the d'oraita, right? So we're going to say, we're not gozer a gzera of ofen gvina ala shulchan, lest you come to eat basar gvina ala shulchan, and lest you come to eat lest you put basar gvina on the table, lest you come to eat basar, right? That's like a gzera al gzera. So now they want to compare that to the chalach chutz la'aretz. So now they say like this. That would only work. Bishlama yesh meinan chalat chutzal la'aretz ba'aretz. Di'ika lemigzar mishum chalat ha'aretz. Do'oraita. If you're eating chalat chutzal la'aretz in Israel, then we'd have a concern, because if you put them together on the table, you might come to eat chalat chutzal la'aretz. Actually, right? You might actually eat the chalat chutz la'aretz. And if you eat the chalat chutz la'aretz, what might happen? You might think you can also eat chalat ha'aretz, which is aser mida'oraita, right? Then we have a da'oraita. That would be a comparable case. But, and then we'd say, the fact that we don't make this gzera and we don't forbid this proves that angels ring gzera l'gzera. But, he says like this, right? That's probably not the case, right? Velogazrinan, right? Let's just finish. So mishum chalat ha'aretz d'oraita, and then the Mishnah tells you logazrinan. They don't make that gzera, and therefore ikalamashmuina. Then we can learn from here the angels are in gzera l'gzera. Ela chutz la'aretz, but if you're in chutz la'aretz, the reason why you're allowed to do this is mishum delei kalamigzarhu. Aval hacha, right? In other words, what's the reason? If you're eating chalat chutz la'aretz, in chutz la'aretz, is there a chashash you're going to end up eating chalat Eretz Yisrael? No, you're in chutz la'aretz. You're far from Israel. You don't have chalat Eretz Yisrael near you. So to say we allow you to eat it ala shulchan, lest you might actually come to eat the chalat chutz la'aretz, worst case, you've eaten Nisr Durabanan, but we're not going to, there's no way you're ever going to get to this d'oraita of chalat ha'aretz because you're not even in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, that's why you don't make a gzera here. Because there's no actual leading to a deoraita. But in our case, okay, so now let's read it inside. Avalhacha ishare le lasuke ofu gvina. If we allow you to put ofu gvina on the table, what might you come to do? Ati lasuke basaru gvina, right? You might put basaru gvina on the table. Lasuke means lahalo, to put them on the table. Umecha basar v'chalav deoraita. And then that might lead you to basar v'chalav v'deoraita. So these two cases are not comparable because one leads to a deoraita and one doesn't. So that's not a good proof. So all this is a rejection of his proof that ein gozrim zera al gzera. Okay, so let's just go back to the beginning. Rav Ashi said, Rav Yosef said that we can infer from the Mishnah that basar v'chalav is asur mi deoraita because if it was derabanan, there'd be no reason for the gzera. And now we just disprove that, because why would there be no reason for the gzera? Because of chalat chutz la'aretz, but chalat chutz la'aretz is not comparable, because that will never lead to deoraita, and this will lead to deoraita iser. So therefore, it doesn't prove that of is deoraita. It could potentially be a derabanan that leads to deoraita, and therefore they made a gzera. Matke flower of shesha. Now we have another problem with this, putting these together on the table, even if it's meat and cheese. Matke flower of shesha, self, tzonein b'tzonein hu. But on the table, it's already cold. It's not, okay, even if it's not exactly cold, it's not hot enough. Okay, we're going to learn about kashrut, right? You need a high temperature, we all know this, right, to be able to transfer tastes. So, what does Abaye say? Amar Abaye, gzera shemayale be'il fasroteach. We're concerned that maybe you'll put it in a pot that's very hot. So then, in other words, you can't put them on the table together in a regular case, even if it's not boiling hot, because you might come to put it in a pot that's very hot. So they say, sof, klisheni ain't omavasha. Okay, this goes back to Shabbos, right, and all that. That in the end, even if the, let's say, you take your stuff and you put it in an earthenware vessel that retains the heat and it becomes very hot, it's still a klisheni, right? You put your hot water in a mug, right? It's very, very hot, even though it didn't cook in the mug, right? That's, okay? But the fact is, even though it's really, really hot, it's a klisheni, and we have a principle that klisheni is not strong enough to cook anything. So what do they answer? El agzera shema yale b'ilfas rishon. We're worried that you might put it on the table, right? If you go to a fancy restaurant, or not even necessarily a fancy restaurant, but sometimes you might get a lasagna in the pot that they cooked it in, or there's all sorts of dishes. They cook in the ceramic dish, they put it in the oven, right? Sometimes they make these onion soups that they put in the oven with the baguette on top and the cheese, and right? That's a case where it's in a kli rishon, where it was cooked in that pot, and then it could cook in there, so that's the concern, that we took a piece of meat, right? You might end up accidentally, if we allow you in general to eat milk and cheese, meat and cheese on the same table, you might end up with a situation where the meat is on the table in a kli rishon. It could then cook the cheese, and then you become to really a basar b'chalav mi'deoraita.
This is an interesting story. I was saying, my grandmother told me that in the little villages in Europe, everybody would prepare their cholent, and they would take it to, I think, the shul or the bakery, where there was a big oven, and everybody would put it in, and then they go on Shabbat morning and take it out and serve it in that.
In the chilim pot, right. Right. Some people actually serve in their chilim pots at the table. That would be a good case of a kli rishon that would be able to cook. And then that's why, since sometimes you might put your chilim pot on the table, you can't therefore have cheese on the table ever with your meat. Okay. Now we're going to get to an interesting machloket, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, and how to understand the machloket. And from there, we're going to start a little bit today with waiting in between milk and meat. Okay, there's going to be a big contradiction between, well, we'll leave most of it for tomorrow, because until you see the other sources, you have to figure out how they work in with these sources. Okay, ha'of ole ima gvina ala shulchan. You can put of together with gvina on the shulchan, ve'eino ne'echal. It can't be eaten with the cheese, but it can go on the table with the cheese. Divrei Beit Shammai. This obviously disagrees with the previous Mishnah. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, and this is why our Mishnah, we follow Beit Hillel, lo ole velo ne'echal. You can't put it on the table, and it doesn't get eaten together. Amar Rabbi Yossi, zo mikulei Beit Shammai mechumrei Beit Hillel. This is one of the cases. There's, I think, 23 cases, okay, where Beit Shammai is meikel and Beit Hillel is machmir. There, it's mentioned in Eduyot, all the cases. Be'ezeh shulchan amru, what type of table are we talking about? And this is going to be important to understand what type of tables they had. B'shulchan she'ochel alav, it's a shulchan that you eat on, aval b'shulchan she'soder alav et ha'tavshil, no tein zeh besad zeh ve'eino choshesh. If you're using a buffet table, then there's no problem. The issue is the table that you're eating on. By the way, when they say table that you're eating on, we're going to talk about this when we get to Tosfot on tomorrow's daf, where he talks about silek shulchan, okay? And it comes up with Pesach. If you all know, right, they say, what is it? You remove the table and then, you know, or maybe, forget the wording there. But it seems like everyone had these individual tables. Okay, there's all sorts of things like a Nida can't eat at the same table with her husband, which seems to be that the tables they were talking about was these small individual tables. Okay, people would sit like on the floor with a little stool in front of them and that was their table. It's not like a table that we have nowadays. It's a long, big table. Okay, that's probably likely what they're talking about. So you can't put them on that table, but you can put it on a buffet table. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi pointed out to us something pretty obvious, right? That this is a Kulei Beit Shammai and Chumrei Beit Hillel. So the Gemara assumes he must be disagreeing with Tanakhama about something, because otherwise his statement is totally unnecessary. So Rabbi Yossi, they say, Hainu Tanakhama, he seems to say the exact same thing as Tanakhama, because all he's saying is Beit Shammai is Machmir, Beit Hillel is, Beit Shammai is Meikel, Beit Hillel is Machmir, which we already knew. The Chitim, and if you want to suggest that Achila Gufa Ikabenayu, that maybe they disagree about eating of and gvina. But maybe the Mishnah reads like this. Deka'amar Tanakama, b'ha'ala kamiflige. They argue about whether you could put it on the table. Ba'achila lo plige. But they don't disagree about eating. As everyone agrees, you can't eat of with cheese. But amar le Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi comes to say, achila gufa, even eating of with milk or cheese, is mikule Beit Shammai u'michumrei Beit Hillel. Maybe that's what he's saying. So then let's read the Mishnah from the beginning. Ha'of oleh magvina ala shulchan ve'eino ne'echal, divrei Beit Shammai. But he'll omrim lo olav ve'lo ne'echal. Then comes Rabbi Yossi to say, no, you're wrong. Even achila is mikulei Beit Shammai u'michumrei Beit Hillel. Meaning that even achila, kind of like, you know, let's say we have Rabbi Akiva who holds it's only asher midrabanan, and he doesn't think it's asher at all. You can eat of and gvina. But you can't possibly say that that's what Rabbi Yossi says, because v'hatnan, again, it says Tanya, it should be tnan. There's a Mishnah in Eduyot, which says, Rabbi Yossi omer shisha dvarim mikulei Beit Shammai mechumrei Beit Hillel. I know I said there's 23. There's six particular ones that he seemed to disagree with everyone else about, okay? Or there's some six that are unique, but there are more than that. He says there's six things mikulei Beit Shammai mechumrei Beit Hillel, v'zo achat mehen, and let's see exactly what he says. Of ole imag vina la shulchan ve'eino ne'echal divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel omrim lo ola ve'lo ne'echal. So therefore, right, it can't possibly be that he holds that Beit Shammai thinks it's mutar to eat, because he says it explicitly in the Mishnah here that Beit Shammai thinks you can't eat. So therefore, it sounds like he's saying the same thing about Tanakhama. So therefore, what's his point? Elaha kamashmalan man Tanakhama Rabbi Yossi. It's just to tell us who is the one who says that this is the machloka between them. It's Dafka Rabbi Yossi. Because again, I told you those six things were things where Rabbi Yossi disagreed with other people. Lots of times there were debates about what exactly Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagreed about. So he's coming to say this is one of the cases, even though not everybody agreed. And therefore, it wants to tell us the Tanakh comes from Yossi, Shekol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula La'Olam. Okay, where do we learn this from? We've seen this many times. Here they actually bring us a source, Mat'im, it has to do with Purim, Shenemar, Batomer Esther LaMelech B'Shem Mordechai. She goes and brings to the king about Big Tam V'Teresh in the name of Mordechai. And why does that bring Geula La'Olam? Now you know why. Because on account of that, right, the king took Mordechai, right, wanted to save him in the, right, even it's paraded him around, that led to the whole Geula, okay, the unfolding of the Geula. This, by the way, gives credit to Esther for mentioning the name of Mordechai, but it gives Mordechai a lot of credit for bringing the Geula, basically. And she gets the credit because she said it, B'Shem Omro, but then that led to, right, Mordechai being favored by the king, etc. Okay, so now we're starting to get to the beginnings of the sugya of waiting between milk and meat. Tana Agra Chamua de Rabbi Abba. So Agra is his name. He was the father-in-law of Rabbi Abba, and he said the following, he brought the following braita. Of ugvina ne'echalim ba'apikoren. Okay, this is not apikoros, this is apikoren. Okay, of and gvina can be eaten behefkerut. Okay, that means, right, any way you want, it sounds like. So, what does that mean exactly? Hu tanela vihu amrala. That means he quoted us this braita and then he explained it. What does the braita mean according to him? Belo netilat yadayim ubelo kinuach hapeh. You can eat them together without washing your hands in between and without washing your mouth. Now, what's unclear about this? What's the order? Is it ofen gvina sounds like, and we're going to have a huge debate about this among the Rishonim, okay, between all the cases, every time it mentions these things. Of ugvina sounds like of and then gvina, okay? First of, then gvina. Okay, so it sounds like you can eat chicken and then you can eat cheese, or maybe it only means you can eat cheese and then eat chicken. Okay, there's two sides of how to read this. Without washing your hands in between and without washing out your mouth. Cleaning out your mouth, Rashi says, means shima chalzeh ubikesh lecholzeh, ain't sarich li tol yadav lekaneach, aval bebasar behema bai kinuach. Now, the chidush is, only with of this is the case, but after basar you're going to need kinuach. Okay, what's that? Shelo yehe nidbak klum in rishon bechanichav. You need to make sure you get everything out. Right, we usually say ben hashinayim, that's going to come up, but even in your palate, those are what we saw yesterday about the palate and the teeth, and you know there was a concern that food would get stuck there. So when meat is more likely to get stuck than chicken. Okay, and therefore it sounds like you can eat it, and therefore it even sounds like oh first, if that's the concern, right? Okay. Now we're going to bring a story, Rav Yitzchak, which is going to create some of the problems here about how to read it. Rav Yitzchak, Berei de Rav Masharshia, Ikla Lebe Rav Ashi. He came to the house of Rav Ashi. Aitu le gvina, achal. Okay, they brought him gvina, notice the order. They brought him gvina, he ate gvina. Aitu le bistra, achal. Then they brought him basar, and he ate. Velo masha yade. And he didn't wash his hands in between. Notice it doesn't have to do with the kinuach right now. They're only talking about the washing of the hands. Amrele, they said to him, "V'hatane agra chamua de Rabbi Abba, ofu gvina nechalim b'apikorin," which sounds like ofu gvina in basar ugvina lo. Now here it's really confusing because the order is of gvina basar gvina, but the case was gvina and then basar. Okay, so this is what causes a huge amount of confusion in addition to the upcoming sugya, which is going to create confusion depending on how you read this. But if you read it kipshuto, it sounds like even basar ugvina you wouldn't need. Happens the case was gvina and then basar, but it sounds like even basar to gvina, you don't, right? So now what does he say? How could you have not washed your hands? It says that open gvina you don't need to wash your hands for, but it sounds like basar and gvina you would. Amar lehu, so what does he answer him? Hanemili belelya. Only at night you need to wash your hands. But avabiyamama ha chazina. In the daytime, you can see if you have something left on your hands. So if you ate cheese and then you want to eat meat, you don't have to wash your hands in between. If it's daytime, you can just look at your hands, make sure they're clean, and then you can eat. Or potentially, depending on how you view this sugya, you could say even meat to cheese, if it's daytime, you actually don't need to wash your hands. Now notice they didn't relate to the kinuach hapeh. Sounds like kinuach hapeh you would still need to do, okay? But it sounds like from here that there's a certain kula about ofen gvina. Ofen gvina, you don't even need to wash out your mouth. You don't even need to wash your hands at nighttime, okay? Whereas basar gvina, you need to wash your hands at night, and you probably need to do kinuach hapeh, although it doesn't relate to kinuach hapeh. And the question is what, yeah, maybe he did do kinuach hapeh and all that. And like I said, there's a big debate about the order, okay? So like Tosfot says right away, if you look at the Tosfot, Ofu Gvina Im Basar Gvina Lo, he says, Tema, this doesn't make any sense. Dehechi Parch Mi Gvina Acha Basar, A Basar Achar Gvina. Right? Now, how could you take a case where they were talking about Of and then Gvina, and then take a case where it was Gvina and then Basar? It makes no sense, okay? So there's going to be different ways of explaining it. We'll talk about it more tomorrow when we see the other sugyo tomorrow, and because they're going to have to, you know, Tosfot in classic Tosfot style tries to rectify all the sugyot and work them out together and figure out how can we explain all these seemingly contradictory sugyot with, you know, and then also with what, you know, we know to be the case that you need a weight between milk and meat. How could you possibly suggest? It almost sounds like the Gemara is suggesting, because what comes out from here is, it's true basar and gvina are not, okay, so first of all it comes out that if you say it's of and then gvina, you can eat, right, Of, and then you can eat Gvina. Now, one could say, one of the suggestions is, that's only Rabbi Akiva who holds it's Derabanan, right? In other words, maybe if it's Doraita, then you wouldn't say that. And then it becomes Basar and Gvina, according to this, can't be in Bapikoren, meaning you need to wash your hands, you need to do Kinua Chapet. But what about the fact that you need to wait? Where does that come in? In other words, if it's it might sound like Basar and Gvina, you can't, but you can't eat a bapikoren, but that means all you have to do is wash your hands and clean out your mouth. In which case, you know, no, don't go today home and eat your meat and clean your hands and your mouth and start eating cheese. But that's definitely a possibility that this sugya is saying, and then we're going to have to rectify it with what about waiting between meals and what is all that other stuff. That'll be in tomorrow's daf, and we'll try to make some seder.